Today on Wings.
Community Radio. Community Radio. We work with our people. We work with our people.
Radio Guruna in northern Ghana is very involved with the well-being and participation of their community. Their many projects and programs include empowerment for girls and youth, family farming, health education, and sustainable development goals. But in 2022, a climate disaster, powerfully heavy rains, knocked down their broadcasting tower. Lydia Adjono, a longtime pillar of the station's operations, reached out to Wings for help to rebuild. We'd be happy to put you in touch with them. But first, from our archives, here's Lydia telling about the station, their community, and how she came to make it the focus of her life's work.
There's a river of birds in migration, a nation of women with wings. There's
Welcome to Wings, a series of news and current affairs programs by and about women around the world, produced and distributed by the Women's International News Gathering Service.
Lydia Adjono is a longtime practitioner of community radio from Ghana in Africa. I had the good fortune to interview her at a World Community Radio Conference in Argentina. She told me she had won the trip as a prize thanks to a script competition run by Farm Radio International. She is also a past contributor to Wings, but her real passion is for helping her own community. Here's how Lydia got her start in community radio, back in the days when she was the only woman on the local airwaves.
Well, I started as a volunteer way back in the 80s. I used to do small reports on farm news in my native language. And we didn't have a frequency to operate community radio by then. So I used to do a show on the rural FM station from the government side after the 12 o'clock news. Then I'll run it for 30 minutes. And it was water is life. Water was very scarce. To get water for just a bucket, you had to travel way into the night, leave your house in the night before you can get a bucket of water. Then it was the time that the Canadian government with the government of Ghana came together to provide water to these rural communities. So Water is Life was to get the communities to appreciate borehole water.
Would you say what a borehole is?
Yeah, heavy machinery has been used to drill deep down to the water table, sometimes 600 feet, and then they'll put a tube down and then have a simple pump. And then you stand on it or hold the bar and pump the water out. But the perception of the community members was that that water, borehole water, was not tasty. So they weren't drinking from the borehole, but they were still drinking from these streams. And sometimes they don't get that water and they will refuse to drink the borehole water.
I want to know how you convinced the people to drink the water even though they didn't like the taste.
Well, diarrhea was very prominent for both children and adults. A family, I quite remember, lost their two children out of the diarrhea. And I went and interviewed them on a reel-to-reel recorder, very heavy. So I had to put it on my bicycle to record the family, their experience. Then when I brought it back and played it back, it touched hearts. And mothers were coming to ask, so what can we do? So I used to go to the antenatal clinics to meet with mothers and talk with them and then share that on the radio. And that played the trick. they started drinking, trying the water. They would go to a borehole and fetch the water and say, especially this is for drinking. And they were using that, and the children were getting healthy. Diarrhea had reduced. And at the antenatal clinics, there was the response that, well, people were now drinking the water and they were really getting healthy and no diseases. So people started, you know, drinking the water. So my show was a 30-minute show. Every day I will host a nutritionist and one of the water experts, and then also a community member. So that's the trick that we used.
I'm Frieda Worden, and you're listening to my interview with Lydia Adjono, a community radio broadcaster from Ghana. When you look at her face closely, you see a diagonal scar line on one cheek. In this next section of our interview, she calls that her mask.
So where in Ghana did you grow up, and where were you living when you were doing this first radio work?
I am from the northern part of Ghana, and for that matter, the Upper East region. I was born and raised in a city, but very early of my educational period, my father thought I would get lost in the city. So he transported us back to the rural area. That's why I have this mark, so that I don't get lost. So I went to school in the Bolkatanga Girls Secondary School. And after that, I was to go to Agriculture Institute. That was my selection. I wanted to do agriculture and nutrition. Mm-hmm. But the coup in 1979 really disrupted my education. So for almost 10 years, I couldn't go to any institute. It really displaced me personally. But as a transition, I had this radio program, picked it up, and I started working on it. But as I entered into the radio, I was more empowered, and I was ready to learn and improve myself, whether I went to higher institution or not. So that's how I continued.
The school's loss was radio's gain.
Yes.
Now, you mentioned that you have a mark going on your face. Would you say what this is, and does it relate to the rural culture there?
Yes. In our area that I come from, in Ghana, in the colonial days, way back when the British were ruling us, even before then, there was this slave trade. And my tribe was one of the strongest tribe, and the slave raiders attacked my tribe. They defended, but it was too strong. They were more strong because they were using weapons, guns, and they were having their simple instrument. So a lot of our people were arrested and sold out as slaves. So with that experience, they started marking every child that was born, even way after the slave trade, to give them identity. In case you were gone or you were arrested and sold as a slave, you should be able to trace back to your tribe. And right now, if I go anywhere in Argentina here, and then I have one of my tribe members, they will know where I come from, and we will recognize each other. And we have different marks to signify from a certain bigger tribe, and then it tells in the bigger tribe which area I come from.
So when you started doing radio, were you doing it in your tribal area?
Yes, it covers a very big area. And just to give you a picture of it, a district is like a local authority area. We have about 9 of such in my tribe area. So I was doing the program in my language. And then for the expert workers and the NGOs that were coming into the area, I had a 15-minute program in English just to summarize some of the major issues happening in the city, because that time it was so difficult to access news or any information There were no internet, there were nothing. The national radio station had a monitoring service that we can monitor from the city, and then we can get BBC News at dawn, and then we can summarize that and then present it.
So you became an all-around news person. So you started also filing stories internationally. When did that happen?
Yes, I started filing stories internationally when I really met you. I tried my first story, I can remember, and I saw that, oh, well, I can do it. So every opportunity I had, I did.
I'm Frida Worden of Wings, talking with Lydia Adjono, a Ghanaian community radio broadcaster. We first met each other at a World Association of Community Radio Broadcasters conference in 1997 in Milan. And shortly thereafter, Lydia sent Wings a story on cassette in the mail. By the time we had this interview at another community radio conference in Argentina, Lydia was an award-winning reporter using internet to file her stories abroad.
Then my internet filing story started just about 2-3 years ago. I found from Farm Radio International that I could do that. It was so difficult to go into the internet and be able to hook the net for long. So I would do the editing, the script, and then I'll go to the studio and read it to make sure that I will have very few errors to correct. And then from there, then I will go to a cafe and sit there for hours and then be able to come out with my story and sign it. Then last year, I realized that, wow, there are other internet facilities that you can send audio material. You send it is one that I was able to try, and I was so proud of myself that I was able to send an interview of about 5 minutes to CBC in Canada on the World Women's Day. I also sent one for AMAC, and then I've also filed one for the World Food Day.
Wow, so this is a lot of change, technological change from recording on open reel in the field until you're sending your stories on the internet. Tell me about what's been going on in Ghana, and how does that affect your area where you live?
Right now in Ghana, let me say, politically, it's stable. At the economic side, things are changing. Since 2004-05, oil has been found in Ghana. And where I live, the Upper East, we are not near the oil area. So our communities don't really understand what it means. So we normally pick some of this information to let them understand what is happening.
While Lydia's community is not in the oil region, there are still opportunities coming from oil and oil wealth, and she helps the community to recognize such.
There's this gas pipeline being constructed from Ghana to Burkina, and it has to pass through our region to Burkina. So the gas pipeline, because it's passing through all the communities, the company that is contracted to do that go around to contract the community youth labor to construct the trench where they can lay the pipe or whatever they want to do. So some of the communities resisted because they used to bring other youth from different regions to come to those communities. They said, no, we cannot be here, we have no jobs, and you go and bring other people to come and do that. So there were a little bit of conflict, and we had to host those issues on the radio. The oil, how it impacts on their community life, and how they have to challenge some of the political decisions that might not benefit them.
Was that campaign successful? Now they use the local youth?
Yes, it is successful. So the local youth is now being used at every community that they have gotten to dig the trench. They don't bring any different person. They mobilize the youth around there to dig the trench. And if they are going to do anything that has to do with labor, either the youth or the women or the men, they have to do it and they can give them some small money. The government is also having a program. They call it the Community Level Manpower Road Construction. They are trying to implement that. And for our region, we are celebrating our 50th anniversary. So the municipal assembly mobilized all the community members where the roads are all going through to work on the roads. And then the capital of the region, which is Bolgatanga, for so many years has been in darkness. Recently, everywhere has gotten street lights, and they are still continuing to put more street lights.
As of 2023, Bolgatanga has many solar power companies. Lydia's community radio in Ghana not only mobilizes people and provides information, it also helps make peace.
Where I come from, one part of it, on and off, has experienced tribal conflict based on chieftaincy, you know, power relations, chieftaincy disputes. And it really caused a lot of havoc. A lot of lives were lost, family against family, and it was really very, very serious. But now the situation is under control. And my station, we have been working with some of the community women groups to do radio programs to promote peace and reconciliation and to bring healing to the community. And that program is ongoing. And then the women at the community level have group meetings. They engage themselves into income-generating activities that they work together to reconcile and bring unity and unite their families that has been displaced. So we have been working with the Regional Peace Council and the District Peace Initiatives to bring permanent peace to the place. The other program that I can say in my region, and I proudly want to say that if only the government will really push it and it will work, is the food security issue. And they've launched what they call the Savannah Agriculture Authority. Some of the funding is coming from the United States of America Millennium Challenge account, which they launched for Ghana to increase food production and also to improve on road networks so that small-scale farmers can cart their crops from the hinterlands into the town for sale. Because the roads are very bad, so part of this project is to improve road network. And my radio station, we are trying to involve so that we can work with the communities that will be part of this food production program, improving livelihood. The other aspect I will want to talk about under the economic aspect is tourism. In tourism, in my region, we have a lot of attraction areas, and we are promoting ecotourism because we have a lot of natural places that have not been harnessed. So we are promoting that so that at least some kind of improvement can be put into it, and then the road network improves so that it can attract tourists visiting. And we are also concerned about climate change, which is a real issue in our area, because recently we had a lot of flooding, very heavy rains that came and destroyed a lot of farmlands and properties. And we know it is part of this global warming thing. So we are working with the communities to understand the global phenomena and then to be able to do something about it by adapting, you know, because crops that were really their stable food are no more producing well. So they have to think of strategies that they can improve upon crop production, they can improve upon their livelihood. So these are some of the critical issues that we are looking at. Environmental issues are very, very critical because we are nearer to the desert. Because after Burkina, Mali, and we are in the desert. Mm. We are losing a lot of our forest because of drought and because of the influence of global warming. So they launched the National Environmental Protection Program in my region. And the communities are coming together to work together. Like five communities will group together so that they'll be able to help each other. In the area of women and children, we are working to reduce malaria, if not completely eradicate malaria, which is a big issue, and child and maternal mortality. Recently, UNICEF brought together media practitioners to train us and let us have more information that we can do programs and write stories about child and maternal mortality issues. That policy makers can look at them and then formulate policy that will help to reduce these incidents. UNICEF strategy is communication for development that I was part of the training program. And we are working with the health directorate to do a lot of programs at the community level with the community members themselves.
Another radio project involves supporting a community health nurse who persuaded women to come to the clinic for birthing by incorporating traditional practices into the clinic experience.
I'm trying to get to the community after the rains to talk to them about this and do a story. In this community, traditionally, if a woman delivers, there's this millet, a grain called millet. They will prepare the flour. And they will mix it with hot water, like a beverage, very hot for the woman to drink. And then after drinking, they believe that after that it will help heal all your womb again. So she prepares that in quantities. So if you come to deliver at a clinic, you will drink a lot of that. So it attracted the woman. Instead of staying in the house to deliver, they go to the clinic now. And in that community, maternal mortality has really reduced because of that strategy she has used. And these are simple models that they are adapting, going back to adapt some of these best practices of the communities, then they can use them. And that is actually helping to reduce some of these incidents.
Community radios in Ghana also take up issues of mental health.
Mental health is a very big issue, and many people don't know that everybody is prone to some kind of mental illness. I went out to work with an NGO called Basic Needs Ghana, and then we have another one, local NGO called Pride. So we do programs. We have a radio program that is on mental health. They have 30 minutes of discussion, and then they open the phone line for interaction. But the highest aspect is that is affecting our productive youth, which is a concern. Also, in the area of youth employment, there has been issues of incidents of illicit drug abuses, both out of school and in school. I've written a story about that for the International Day of Mental Health. And then people living with disabilities. Since last year, I've been part of the Ghana Community Radio Network, and we are promoting the establishment of community radios in the community. And in my area, we have facilitated about two of such communities. At one session, we had about 10 people with disabilities involved, and two of them are part of the management team. And then at my radio station, people with disabilities, they also have a radio program every week, which comes on Saturdays in the evening. That is also what I can say we are doing there.
Serving the community in so many ways. Maybe you'd like to tell one of your favorite moments in community radio.
One of my favorite moments in community radio is getting community to understand that it is their right to make use of waves. I mean, they're using the airwaves. It is a natural product in every country that they have to access. And they said, oh, we didn't know that. And I was part of a team that facilitated about 12 communities moving towards acquiring frequencies to operate community radios. That is my most happiest and delightful movement.
Lydia Arjono, you are a true community radio woman and a very successful one. I'm so happy to see you smiling proudly. Thank you so much for your interview with the Wings.
Thank you, too.
After our interview at the Community Radio Conference in Argentina, Lydia Arjono went outside to take her turn on a live broadcast of women's radio from the streets of La Plata.
Thank you so much. Oh, thank you so much. In Ghana, we always display gender balance. And our community radios, all the community radios in Ghana, we came together and we formed a song. And the song goes like this. And I'm going to do it with Kofi Lawe to show how we implement our gender policy.
Lydia Arjono, que viene de la red de radios comunitarias de Ghana, quiere cantarnos la canción que siempre cantan antes de empezar la transmisión de radio en su emisora. Le va a acompañar
Kofi Lawe.
Kofi Lawe.
Community Radio. A different kind of radio we work with our people together we design together we decide together we implement to work with our people together we plan together we decide together we implement we work with our people community radio.
Thank you.
Bravo.
That interview was recorded in 2011 when Lydia Arjono and I attended the World Conference of Community Radio Broadcasters in La Plata, Argentina. In January 2023, Lydia wrote Wings for help replacing the station's broadcasting tower, which was knocked down from a climate disaster, powerful torrential rains. At the current exchange rate, the amount they are seeking for the most inexpensive replacement is about $1,000. Wings has contributed. You can reach Radio Guruna through us, wings@wings.org, or email for information to lydia.arjono@gmail.com. That's spelled lydia.arjono@gmail.com. Wings thanks all our supporters, including your local community radio stations, Suzette Cullen, and Genevieve Vaughn, whose works can be found through the website gifteconomy.com. That's gift-economy.com. The Wings sound logo is from Libana's album A Circle is Cast. I'm Frieda Worden. This is the Women's International News Gathering Service.